In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This is Alan Hearns, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by the Trash Man. And we're super pumped to be here today, coming off a long Memorial Day weekend. Hope that everybody was able to have fun and celebrate it safely. And we're back at it. And so is the NFL, Trash Man. Coming off the holiday weekend. So these are the teams starting veteran OTAs today. It's a long list. The Falcons, the Ravens, the Bills, the Panthers, the Bengals, the Browns, the Broncos, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Rams, the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Giants, the Eagles, the Steelers, the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Bucks, and the Titans. It's basically everybody. Except for some of these teams started their OTAs. There's like a few, like three or four that started their OTAs on May 20th through the 22nd. And then the rest of them will be starting with their first one on Wednesday. So a lot of these teams getting back at it. We're going to have a lot of, I'd imagine some of these shows coming up, we're going to have a lot of fallout from these OTAs and what the coaches are saying at the availabilities and all the rest of it. But for today, I don't know about you, Trash Man. Over the weekend, I was doing some best ball drafts and starting to look at even some of the early, you know, there's starting to be some early redraft data over on sites like Yahoo and stuff like that, which I'm always super duper excited to see when we start transitioning from best ball to season long managed leagues. And I wanted to talk today about players that it might be smart to draft, even though it feels super bad to take them. So I felt like this shows up your wheelhouse since you are the Mr. Garbage grab himself, the disgusting, despicable trash man. So, you're all about taking players that you're uncomfortable taking because you think they're not very good. Let's start out with you.
All right. First off, I mean, this player, it's not that he's not good. It's just that when you think about him, you don't think about him in the realm of, you know, players who's performing.
He's a trashy player.
You know, and that's Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, Chuba?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've talked about him before, and y'all weren't excited about him. I think it was in our last.
It feels like he's being priced though.
He was a top. If you're looking at his average fantasy points, in 2024, he's right outside of the top 10. He's 11, and he only played in 15 games. 13.5 fantasy points per game, better than the likes of Devin Montgomery, Devon Achane, James Conner, Chase Brown, better than all of those guys. Over 1,000 yards rushing, you know, double-digit touchdowns on the season. He's not somebody you necessarily think about as a top 10 running back, but, you know, with Jonathan Brooks out for 2025, I mean, they added the Etienne kid, but I think it's a different skill set. I think that Hubbard remains the goal line back for the Carolina Panthers, who are arguably going to be a better defense. I mean, a better offense overall with the addition of Tet McMillan. So I don't see why Hubbard would not perform as a top 10 running back again this season if he, you know, continues to play at the same clip.
It's not just Tet McMillan. I mean, they've expended a lot of resources into the offensive line, and I think that they told us through their through their own actions, right? As far as what they did with his contract extension last season, they extended him while, you know, not while Jonathan Brooks was healthy, but before he got hurt again, right? Yeah. Based on what he'd done, and that kind of made you worry a little bit if you had Jonathan Brooks in Dynasty. It's like, oh gosh, they just signed. You know, I thought, you know, like many people, that Chuba Hubbard was, you know, you think about him as being older. He's still like, he'll turn 26 just before this season starts. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is going to be a, you know, he'll be here for a couple years, right into the sunset. Jay Brooks takes over the lead role there, right? And clearly that has been derailed. Who knows with Jay Brooks, what, you know, when he comes back, he's not even playing this season. When he comes back, he was young coming out, but who really knows? It's like that now is a total mystery box. With the two season-ending knee reconstructions in consecutive seasons, yeah, in college and then at, you know, in Carolina. Now they gave Chuba 4 years, $33.2 million. Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes to show some organizational, you know, trust in the guy.
Well, he's shown to be trustworthy.
So there's that. There's also, but on the flip side of the coin, there's also, I mean, Rico Dowdle's there. He's shown that he can at least be something. I do think he's kind of there as a backup. And like you said, Trevor Etienne, a little bit more of a kind of, if there was going to be anybody there that was like going to step up and be some kind of 1B to Chuba, it feels like that would be Etienne, who's, yeah, really good catching the ball out of the backfield, all this stuff like that. Whereas Rico Dowdle feels like more of a handcuff to the between the tackle stuff that he would take over from
a replacement if Hubbard were to get hurt.
Yeah. But man, his ADP for, yeah, he's a fifth round ADP. Or is it a sixth round ADP?
As a top two round player.
So I think he's a sixth round. Is he fifth or sixth? So his ADP on, let's just look on Underdog. His ADP on Underdog right now is 56.7. So that is a fifth round ADP.
Right there.
You're taking him. Do you like Chuba as much as you? Well, you don't like RJ Harvey. To me, it's just like, I can't take Chuba Hubbard when I can just, every year it feels like Alvin Kamara is undervalued, and you can get Alvin Kamara five spots later, Kenneth Walker two spots later, James Conner 10 spots later. It feels like he's pretty adequately priced. But now that I'm reading him off, gosh, that's an interesting fifth and sixth round. There's no running back dead zone this year. You, yeah, can pick players through there. It's fine.
I mean, it's your RB kind of forecast.
Yeah, it's wild, man, for sure. That isn't bad. I don't mind the Chuba call. I'm not hot and heavy over it, but I think it's fine.
He's not a sexy name, but he's going to perform for you.
Yep. My guys who I've chosen here, I think for them, all these are like late round dudes, right? And I'll start out with the one that I kind of feel weakest about, and it's a kind of a weak take on him. But I was in the final round of one of these best ball drafts this weekend, and sitting there, I scrolled down a little bit, and I saw Kareem Hunt, and I was like, man, why not take, like, I thought back about it. I'm like, man, I have dusty Kareem Hunt sitting on one of my dynasty league rosters where I start 10 players regardless of position, right? You can, you can play any position for like 10 spots, right? Oh, but except for quarterback, you can only play two quarterbacks. And Kareem Hunt was somebody that I would have to just put in sometimes, because you know how those leagues are, especially when you have these 30 player rosters. And, I went back and looked. Kareem Hunt wasn't bad last season, and I know that Pacheco was hurt for the beginning of the year. But even once Pacheco came back, he was kind of running ahead of him. They haven't done much besides add Breshad Smith and Elijah Mitchell, as far as they're in the backfield. And I'm just like, I looked at what Kareem Hunt did last year, and in PPR is getting you like 11 fantasy points per game. That's about what Isaiah Pacheco was getting you last year. Now, I know he was coming off of injury, and there was the split and stuff. And I know he's getting older and he's getting dustier, but Pacheco has shown that he's had trouble staying healthy. He's got a maniacal running style. And what if Kareem Hunt is at this point is kind of still as good? I know that his skill set has degraded to some degree or to a large degree from the Kareem Hunt that he was in V1 Kansas City Kareem Hunt. But with the last pick in your fantasy draft, you could have a guy that, you know, legitimately could be flex viable starting week one in a really good Patrick Mahomes offense. I think it's kind of a smart pick.
I mean, it could work out for you. I mean, the next guy I have, I think, is in a similar situation. Probably you can't take him as low as Kareem Hunt, but I think it's in a similar kind of situation, a similar role on his offense. And that's Rashad White. I think
he's a smart pick, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he actually tied for the league lead in receiving touchdowns for running backs last season, right there with Devon Achain with 6. Averaged over 10 fantasy points a game. 9 touchdowns altogether, if you include his rushing touchdowns. I mean, almost right there at a football game under 1,000 yards on that season, all-purpose yards, you know, and only played in 15 games. You know, if he played in 17, he would have eclipsed 1,000 yards on the season. Love Bucky Irving in that offense, but Rashad White.
The difference is too big between them, man.
Yeah.
Bucky Irving goes at 21 overall. Rashad White right now is going.
He's running back 43 right now.
Yeah, okay, 43, 44, whatever. It's like, but he's going in the same, in the spitting, like the same is the exact same area. We're talking within like 2 picks of straight up backups. Tyjae Spears, Trey Benson, Rashad White, Isaac Garrido, Ray Davis, Tank Bigsby, Tyler Allgeier, Braylon Allen.
I mean, backups. He's right there. And, you know, it's going to be an offense. It's going to be, with Chris Godwin there, it's going to be an offense that even moves the ball. Well, and Emeka Buka there. I mean, they're going to be moving the ball downfield. I just think it's a good offense to be a part of. I think Rashad White continues to be an integral part of that offense, especially in the passing game.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
All right, here's my next one. I'll stick with running backs. And this just comes out the Bears, I didn't mention them as a team. I think they started their OTAs back before the holiday, right? And we were getting reports out of camp that while Ben Johnson he's got a wide open depth chart, he says, at all his positions and all this stuff. But it's starting to creep out in reports that Ben Johnson likes Roschon Johnson. And if you look at Roschon, he goes after all those backups and stuff that I was just talking about, right? He goes like near the backups in the mold of like Rico Dowdle and Jalen Wright, who knows what we could expect or think about guys like Jalen Wright or a total just complete handcuff like Will Shipley in Philadelphia, right? Yeah. That is not baking in the upside of him possibly being maybe even leading a committee with DeAndre Swift there. And I've talked about their, you know, Kyle Manungai and all the rest of it, but you know, you watch these drills from Bears practice. It's, you know, it's DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson, Travis Homer is generally the third up, and then Kyle Manungai. So he still technically has a Travis Homer thing to overcome. Roschon's running with the first group. They have a I guess they'll have an opportunity to maybe add some kind of veteran. But who they're going to add, I don't know. Cody always talks about, oh, they're going to bring in Leonard Fournette. So I'm just like, dude, why are we talking about this stuff? Like, that seems so dumb to me that, you know, like bringing in a Dalvin or something. It's just like that stuff doesn't work. And what really intrigued me is I thought back to college and Roschon Johnson. And I remember, you know, they would use him in this, they would use him in these goal line and short yardage situations that a lot of Texas fans hate. But, you know, you remember Roschon when he got to Texas was a quarterback, right? Yeah. And so they really liked him in that kind of wildcat quarterback role down in the red zone when they could run quarterback power. And he was just – Roschon's really good when he's got like a pulling guard in front of him, whenever he's has a lead blocker. He's really good when he gets sprung by a block. He's not ever really been as good of a zone runner. It's just from the eyeball test, right? And I went and looked at it. I went to fantasypoints.com, and of course they have the zone running versus man gap concept, rushing success rates, and it just proved out exactly what I had remembered. He's not a one cut and go guy. He's a get sprung by a good block guy. He was only a 40% success rate on zone concepts last season, but a 66.7% success rate, which is excellent, in man gap concept last season, right? So now they used him more in those kinds of spots. But they used him more in those kinds of spots because I think my eyeballs tell me what their eyeballs told them, that that's where he's better deployed. So if you look at the new offensive line coach for the Bears, and I've already forgot his name. I think it's Dan Roschar. He was with the Saints up until 2022, but for the last 2 years, 2023 and 2024, he was with Tulane. And so I went and watched them all 22 on Tulane, and I was like, they don't look like they run much zone. I go to look at PFF. Sure enough, he runs some zone, but they run a lot of man gap power kind of stuff, right? Counter, all this stuff, like right up Roschon's alley. Ben Johnson has said that he wants a diverse run game. I think that they're going to have opportunities for Roschon Johnson this season to be able to really showcase what we've seen out of him as far as a between the tackles runner when he was at college. I think he's shown them what he needs to show them as far as, or he showed the last staff at least, and in the current GM and organizational structure there, the internal scouting guys, that he can pass protect. We all know Roschon can do that, right? He can catch. It's just he needs to get that stuff rate down. You know, it's at least below 50%, but I think he's sitting like 40% stuff rate. That's because he gets stuffed in zone runs. If he gets more man, power, gap, counter, this kind of stuff, he's going to thrive. And the offensive line's gotten better. Right now, you can take Roschon Johnson at pick 167. Like I said, like you're taking him at the same time you take like Justice Hill. He could be the lead running back in Ben Johnson's new high-powered offense if Caleb Williams takes a step forward. It's a smart pick. I know it feels gross.
It does feel gross, but yeah, I don't hate it. My next guy, I'm going to move to tight end, and this is a situation where, you know, it's just kind of like necessity kind of dictates that this player will probably get involved early and often in this offense. And that's Juwan Johnson for the New Orleans Saints. Derek Carr retired. He's out. I mean, it's likely that Tyler Shock's going to be the starter to start the season in New Orleans. And there's nothing that a rookie quarterback loves more than a tight end, than a safety valve. And I think it just lines up for Juwan Johnson to be, you know,
Kamara too. Your boy Kamara, who you're taking your boy Chuba Hubbard over.
I mean, I don't hold my nose in taking Kamara. That's the thing.
What? Oh, okay. So you actually like taking Kamara?
Yeah, I like Kamara.
Okay.
And so I think it just makes for a good situation for Johnson in that offense, especially, you know, in the desolate tight end landscape that we have, you know, going on right now. I think Johnson actually makes for a pretty, you know, high floor there in New Orleans with a rookie quarterback.
I think it might be a kind of popular sentiment. I think people, I've heard people talk about how they think Juwan Johnson's a good pick this season. I think I kind of agree. I'm trying to, dude, I'm scrolling. I mean, where's he getting taken here? I thought I'd heard people talk about him. Jeez, God. He's getting taken by like Theo Johnson and he's getting taken after JT Sanders and Terrence Ferguson. Yeah, that's good. I need to make a note on the best ball cheat sheet to get Juwan Johnson up. So do you like Juwan Johnson? I mean, do you like him more than like the Zach Ertzes and the Dalton Schultzes and the JT Sanders and Noah Gray and stuff, right? Of course.
Yeah.
Do you like him in the same tier as like Brenton Strange and Hunter Henry and Cole Kmet and stuff?
I mean, Hunter Henry, he could have a big step up this season. I don't know if I like Johnson as much as Hunter Henry.
Okay. Do you like him as much as Freiermuth and Kmet?
Freiermuth was my other tight end on this list.
We'll talk about Freiermuth then.
I mean, just another guy in a situation where, you know, it seemed like with Pickens on the team, it seemed like there were too many cooks in the kitchen as far as the receiving game went in Pittsburgh. But now that he's gone, you know, it's like there's a dearth of targets there behind DK Metcalf. And I think Freiermuth is in line, you know, for a stellar season. He's the top 10 tight end in 2024.
Are you factoring in just Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback?
I mean,
he feels like a guy that Aaron Rodgers would love to target down there in the red zone.
I mean, honestly, I think regardless of who's quarterback, I think he's going to be.
Oh, come on. There's a big difference between how you project these guys. If it's Aaron Rodgers or one of these stiffs.
I mean, but the thing is, with one of those stiffs, they tend to see to their tight ends more. That, you know, it's just like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers anymore. But I mean, we can add that, we can factor that in too. But
if he's 70% Aaron Rodgers, he's still better.
Right. You know, last season with Russell Wilson, who, you know, is right around the same area, I guess, if we're talking about ability at this point in his career. He was a top 10 tight end in the league last season. Averaged 6.3 fantasy points per game, 7 touchdowns on the season, almost 80 targets on the season, 65 catches. I think he'll probably better that in 2025.
All right. I could get out of here with this one. Cause it's, I'm going to clear the room here. You need to really, if you're listening in your car, put the kids' earmuffs on, plug your nose. This is toxic waste level stuff. But for where you could take him right now, I think it's smart. And this is only for your quarterback too, but for where you could take him right now, I think it's smart to take Anthony Richardson. And I'll talk about why.
You know, I love that.
You're getting Anthony Richardson after guys like Cam Ward and Geno Smith, right around the same time as Sam Darnold, Jackson Dart, who I don't even know if he's going to – I don't even know if Jackson Dart's going to start. And here's the thing, the truth that we have to say about Anthony Richardson. We don't know for sure that he's going to win the job over Daniel Jones. Okay, for the Colts, I think he will. I think you got to give the fourth overall pick at least at least some more runway.
I don't know. I definitely think Richardson should be the starter. I think it was a mistake to bring Daniel Jones in.
It's just and here's the other thing that you have to admit: he's been bad as far as overall passer. He just has. Like, there's no real way to spin his completion percentage, his there's some things whenever you look at him that you look at it and you say, all right, that's actually terrible. You know, it's like, you know, and there's no way to spin it as being good. Things like, you know, being, you know, his touchdown to interception ratio, fifth percentile last year. His his sack percentage, 77th percentile, his pressure to sack percentage. So when he's pressured, the amount of times he takes a sack, 90th percentile, right? So all none of that good, right? But you just it feels stupid, but if you look at his game log, man, he scores a lot of fantasy points whenever he starts. And it has mostly to do with his rushing. The dude averages what, 5.4 yards per rush on designed runs last year. He averaged a league high 7 yards per rush among quarterbacks. And we know that he's just got just the most crazy athleticism that we've ever seen. It makes sense that he should be able to do that kind of stuff.
The Colts, it would behoove the Colts to find out if this is your guy or not. They haven't given him a full season to do that. They don't know. That's why they're still trying to figure it out. Just give him a chance to be your quarterback for the entire season and see what happens. Move on if not.
And also, don't always put all of it on him. I mean, his pass catchers had an 18% drop rate last year on his throws of 20 plus yards. And that here's the other thing. Anthony Richardson airs it out. If he can get this thing together, like, his average depth of target was the tops in the whole league last year. If you look at his catchable ball rate, like I said, a lot of this was on his receivers. 18% drop rate on deep balls, on catchable deep balls. That's pathetic trash, man. Like, they need to fix that. Like, that's also on them. And if you just look at cockamamie PFF, and I know that they can, you know, who knows what this even means. Mm-hmm. But as far as his big time throw percentage, for whatever that is, and I'm not sure how they grade it, but it probably means something. He's 77th percentile on it. And then the one thing that, you know, and maybe it's just seeing him, he looks like Anthony Richardson. He looks like he's out there. You just see him compared to these other guys out there in this quarterback room. And it's like, how are they not going to start that guy? But trash man, what I like most about him, you know, he's always worn contacts, right? He's always wearing glasses at the podium. They say I don't know that I've seen a contact come out of his eye and him go out of a game and have to have it put back in. He wears contacts in game, or that's what he had done. Trash man, this could be the biggest key. Have you seen him at his have you seen him at the Colts workouts? What he's wearing now?
I have not.
The flashiest things. They are sports goggles that wrap around that. I'm telling you, man. You put those things on. That right there adds to your mojo. It's got to be, you know what, 95th percentile mojo to wear those sports goggles.
I'm here for it.